We are back for another episode of the Libby Delucian podcast, where we dive deep and remove the layers and we get deep into things around leadership, family, women in business, you name it. And today I have a very, very special guest. She's been through some evolutions of changes lately. I think I was on your podcast a few months ago and then we traded. And Christy, do you want to introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit about you?
Thank you, Libby. Yes. And Libby was on Inside the C-Suite and you were phenomenal. And I'm a big fan of your book, When They Are Deep. So thank you so much for holding space. I'm Christy Honeycutt. I am the podcast host of two podcasts. One is Inside the C-Suite, which Miss Libby was on, where we interview CEOs and people, founders and people in the C-suite to understand, you know, how did they come up? When did they fail? What did they learn? And it's all about leadership. I'm obsessed with leadership. And then the next one I do is it's a podcast called The Unemployment Society, where we look at what's not working, why people can't get jobs, what's happening in our industry with all of the technology, the future of work. Outside of that, I am an executive coach. So I help organizations work through their problems and challenges together with a focus on leadership. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. So we were talking and prepping beforehand, and there was a topic that I really wanted to hit on, and it was around leadership. I was telling Christy that I've had a handful of calls lately, and especially in our industry, like in the home service industry, with owners, CEOs, or founders, whatever title they want to give themselves, with almost like this feeling of extreme avoidance, feeling like they don't want to do the hard thing or they can't. And Christy had some great insight and perspective. First, you said, I like it could be burnout. And I don't think anyone thinks of that. Like, that's just so simple and basic. It went over my head as well. I was like, oh, it could be burnout.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, and I know that we're aligned with energy, right? So if you think about burnout, and your book talks about this, like taking care of yourself and your family and then your business. And there is no work-life balance. I mean, Libby, we talked about that. You have a point of view on work-life balance. And the more CEOs and C-suite leaders I interview, they echo what you said. There is no such thing as work-life balance, right? So we want to get people like rowing in their purpose where they feel energized by everything they do. And so I do think it's a lot of burnout, and we're kind of on autopilot. We're just working through things and we don't take a moment to take a beat and like really sit with ourselves and understand like, wow, I feel this way. My body is manifesting in a certain way. And there are books about this, right? The Body Keeps the Score talks about how, you know, when you're not in check with what's going on, it can manifest into illness and toxicity within your body.
Yeah. You know, that is so true. Cause I think when I really didn't understand burnout and I was in burnout, I think my body physically had more of a reaction than anything else did. You know, you're tired, you're overweight, you have no clarity, brain fog, like you're not exercising. And so I think for me, that was really big. And it's amazing where when you can recognize burnout. So there's this book called The Power of Full Engagement. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it talks about
check it out as soon as we're done.
It talks about, it's called The Power of Full Engagement. It's like, how can you be fully engaged all the time? And they call owners or C-suite the CEO athlete in this book. And they talk about burnout in this book, but in a very, very different way. And it's about noticing it and seeing it and feeling it and pushing yourself slightly past it on purpose, but then stopping completely. So it's like interval exercising.
Right.
And so if you can push just past burnout just a little bit more, but stopping and actually unplugging and resting, the next time you can go further before burning out. And if you keep doing it in cycles, and at least for me, and I know off my own experience, you never notice the burnout. And when you do, you never unplug because you feel so behind. You're never actually resting. You're just like kind of resting. And until you can learn to like completely unplug, notice that it's coming, I would get completely disengaged and want to avoid all the hard things.
Well, yes, because you're burned out. Well, and it's interesting what you say, because I'm a Clifton Strength Certified coach. And so what I learned even about myself, and I was brought up this way, so maybe you were as well, but I was brought up that you focus on your weaknesses. So they're strong. So together you're strong. And then what I've learned and what I've realized is no, that's completely what we should not be doing. We should really be focused on our strengths and use those to overcome our weaknesses. So what I find is that even within myself is that oftentimes in times of stress, we kind of fall into bad behaviors. We fall into those bad strengths and we're not leveraging the power or magic to help us get through it. And that's one of the things that, again, you have to take time and like really center with yourself and understand, you know, I'm motivated when, or I feel this when. And different personality types within your business are going to play out too, right? So you're going to have all of these different types out there. You're going to have somebody, I'm very empathetic and woo. So I can see and hear the things that people aren't saying. So I could be in a boardroom and I can see the disconnect that's happening. You have ideation from the leader that's like, this is the vision, which they should, they're the leader. But then they won't, sometimes they just want to drop and walk away. And then you've got the people down below that are like, that's a great vision. I love the ideation, but I have no idea how to turn that into execution. And how do I do this? And so then now the leader's upset because their vision's not being executed. And then the team is getting really burned out because they think they're doing the right things, but they're not seeing the results that their leadership needs. So I think we've got a lot of disconnects, and it kind of comes down to each individual person's strengths, their roles and responsibilities. Do they understand what they've been given? And then is everybody, are they working in trust? Like, do they actually have trust to get the execution done so the leader can have strong ideation, make sure it's rolling out and step away? So I think there's a lot of components that are vying for leaders' attention and kind of how do they keep from burning out, right? How do they make sure that they're communicating properly? And we were talking about just before the responsibility without authority. So it's a very, very dangerous place to be. It's a culture killer. It's an energy killer. Because if you think about the work that you have to do, you have the responsibility to do it, but you don't have the authority to change it. And so I think that that's interesting. I'm seeing that play out with a lot of leadership right now.
Yeah, I love that phrase. Like you said it, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I can so relate to it. I mean, I've done the same thing. Like, how do you expect people to lead if you're not giving them the authority to change it?
Yeah.
And I don't know why in leadership, like, well, I think it happens on both sides. So we have a lot of employees. I also have leadership teams. I also have software. I also have a home service company. We just franchised our home service company. So
you
we're
did?
Franchised. Yes.
Congratulations.
So that was super recent. You know, going through all this, I think it's mutual though, because we get a lot of employees that they don't trust because of their prior PTSD from other companies. And then they come and work for somebody like me, and we're totally transparent and we share everything. I might share too much stuff sometimes, but I have this really high level of just communication and transparency. But I suffered from the same thing from at the beginning when I first started. I didn't trust any of our employees, none, because I didn't trust myself. Once I learned to trust myself, then I could give trust, right? And then receive it at the same time. But I'm, you know, I'm seeing that with a lot of management leadership, but I'm also seeing it with a lot of entry-level employees that it's hard to execute on anything because they always think there's some agenda behind it, or that we're this bad, bad boss because they had a big, bad boss in the past.
Mm-hmm. It's psychological safety is what you're talking about. Right?
Yes. We use that word all the time, psychological safety. It is a thing. And I think as we are more remote, that it becomes more and more prevalent, like the psychological safety. Because when we drive to an office, the smell, the familiarity of certain rooms, the feeling helps with that psychological safety of my job, of feeling safer. And when we're safe, we feel we can trust. But when we're remote, and all of my software companies are remote, my home service company, it's kind of a hybrid of remote because our technicians are in the field.
Right.
But we do have office. And we see that versus like my 17-year-old, he works at McDonald's. He drives to the same place. He parks in the same spot. He does the same thing every day, or he doesn't work every day, but every time, over and over and over.
Yeah.
And that gives him some sort of feeling that I have a real job, he said.
Stability.
Okay. But I would love to dive into this topic a little more. So you're writing a book, and you said this is one of the chapters in the book.
I am. I'm writing a book. So I've been in talent for about 20 years and worked with really large organizations. So I've had really crappy bosses, And I've had really good bosses, and I was thrust into leadership at a very early in my career and really didn't have any training, right? So I knew what I didn't want to do. I knew what I did want to do. So I too was a crappy boss. And then I too was a good boss, right? That's why I think I'm so infatuated with leadership, because a real leader is servant. A leader is there to ensure that their teams are succeeding. They know the mission, vision, purpose. They know their individual contribution to the goal. You know, there is psychological safety. Like, leader can't be all things, but if you want to be a leader, you got to care about your people, because that's what it is. Like, you're being gifted with leading and helping these people, you know, achieve. And so when I think about responsibility without authority, I've found myself in that position many times. If you think about different organizations that you work for, if you're talking to clients and you're selling a product, if I look you in the eye and I tell you I'm going to help you, I am going to help you. But if my organization has gaps, if my organization has a different mindset, I can't control that, right? So I've got responsibility without authority. So I can't make all the changes. I can't do what's best and what's right. And I feel like that is such a dangerous place to be. That's when you start getting retention and you get people job hugging and you don't get the full impact of the individual that's working for you, because why? Why would they, right? There's only so far they can go. So I think it's about, how do we help break that glass ceiling? How do we be transparent, like you said, and instill trust? And Gallup did a research, Libby. It was really cool. They talked about, and I'm going to ask you the question because I got it wrong. So for followers, meaning employees, they're, what do you think is the number one thing they want? Do you think it's hope or do you think it's trust? It's tricky.
I don't know. Because in my head, I'm going, they want trust because they want that safety. They want to trust the place they work. They want to trust the boss. But I also think that they need hope, right, to continue for future. Like, so that more, that's more future forward.
Yep.
I'm going to go with trust. I'm going to go with trust.
I went with trust too. It wasn't the right answer. It was the second answer. But the number one answer from followers, from employers that are employees that they're looking from their leadership is hope. So, and that's crazy. This is a huge, huge study that Gallup did.
Hope in what context? Like, hope that in what way? Like that there's a, you know, we're future forward. We have the vision, mission. We have all of these things kind of dialed in, and that gives me hope. Like, what kind of hope when we say hope?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about the environment that we've been living in, like the past 5 years, everything, and we all know what that is. They just want hope. They want to hope for a brighter future. They want hope that they're not going to have to struggle as much, right? They want hope that they have transparent leadership. They have hope that they have psychological safety. They have hope for a better tomorrow. And followed by number two was trust. But you, like me, answered trust because it's probably very important to us to trust. And so I think that it's really unique. And, you know, you said something about, we're talking about psychological safety. And if you think about, I'm going to put it in relational terms, let's say, because I've experienced this as a female, I've been in relationships, couldn't trust those relationships, right? So when you're in a relationship and you've been lied to, or you've been cheated on, or whatever the situation is, it really hits at your ego. It really hits at your vulnerability, your ability to trust, your ability to show up and do what you need to do, because you constantly are waiting for that other shoe to drop, or you're looking for it because it's rinse and repeat. You've had this happen so many times. So employees and founders are experiencing the same thing. So we're inheriting these employees that are coming to us sick and broken because of the environment that we've been in. They don't have trust. They're waiting for the shoe to drop. They're waiting for you to prove that they can trust you. So it's a really wonky environment that we find ourselves in. And now, and you're a tech expert, now sprinkle in the tech, right? It's my job safe. Now you got to sprinkle in how fast everything is moving. And then the way that we communicate is different. We have five generations in the workforce right now, and we all communicate differently, and our strengths are all different. So it's just like all these people walking around, we might as well all be speaking different languages. And because we're literally speaking different languages. But that's when I think about those things, it's that. It's like, how do we instill trust? How do we equip our teams to have the responsibility and the power of the authority over their work? And so those are the questions that I like to kind of press on leaders and say, how do we think about this differently? How do we love on your people? How do we get you peace where you feel good and where we're replicating you? Because you're obviously brilliant. You have this great idea, Let's make sure the team understands it. Let's make sure they're bought in, right? They're bought into your vision and that they're purposeful in what they're doing, because the team coming up, I mean, you're my sons, they think differently. They want purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They think completely differently. And it's funny because my son, so I actually coached my son and we went through his strengths and my strengths and we bumped them up together. And I highly recommend people do this for families, by the way. And he's real big into context is his number one. Strategic is my number one. Those are almost like this, like they're completely opposite. Growing up, he would always say, Mom, I need context. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm your mom. Do what I said, which is like the worst thing ever. And another reason why I was a bad boss early in my career. But we sat down and we talked through it. When I went through his strengths, I went through my strengths. I went, oh my goodness. And it all connected. It all connected. He loves history, which context is usually, you know, what got us here. It's really important for him to understand like what got us here. For me, I'm futuristic. I'm out ahead and I'm strategic. So I'm way over here and we're super close. I mean, my kid's like my best friend. So it's like learning how to talk to him. It's a great example of how we talk to our employees and how we talk to our clients and the disconnects that you could have just from the unique individual makeup that each of us have.
Yeah. I used to coach. We were talking about this before we started. I used to coach and since gotten very big into tech, we're getting ready to launch something else, wrote a book. So I kind of tabled that. But I have to say that one of the best things that I learned or I inherited from coaching was how to communicate with my children and our employees. Because coaching forces you to ask questions, to not just say, do this because I told you to, because you can't, that's like against the rules. You're supposed to, you know, ask questions so that the student or the person gets to their own conclusion or their own answers if you're asking pointed questions. So I love that about your son, because now my son, my 27-year-old calls me all the time and he wants me to coach him through something. He's like, and I said, well, I don't want to give you my advice. Oh no, that's why I'm calling you, Mom. He's like, I need you to help me through this. And, you know, that was probably the best thing that came out of coaching was it made me a better leader. And it helped my relationship with my children so much more because I was the same mom. Just do it because I told you to.
Yeah.
And I would do the same thing to employees. Like, and, you know, I don't think that's fair, one, but they don't, like you said, if you're strategic or very mission and vision driven, you're way over here and they're over here and there's so much misalignment.
Yes. And you talk a lot about misalignment, which I am full for, because it's, if you think about, I mean, it's the evil in everything. If you're misaligned, nothing's moving forward.
I think it's half the battle. It's like more than half the battle. It's just being aligned. This is what we want, or this is how I want to get there. Me and I had a co-founder with my recruiting software originally when we first started, and we had the same end goal, same revenue goal, same like, but we started to feel some friction.
Yep.
And we couldn't understand what was going on. And I had a fractional COO at the time, and he recommended, he's like, I want you to go through these exercises. And he sent us both off and we did Cameron Harold's Vivid Vision. We read the book. Mm-hmm. And so we worked through the vision so he could get us like details on what's that journey look like. Yeah. You both want to be a $10 million company, but how we get there is a completely different story. And when we sat down, we wrote those separately and then we brought them together. That exercise is why we ended up separating and I bought them out, was because we were so misaligned on the journey, not the end goal, which was crazy, but how we got there did not miss. Like, I'm totally like open, transparent. I have an open door policy. You know, they were completely the opposite. No, I need structure. I can only do meetings on this day. I don't want anybody to bother me. I need only one direct report. And so it was just very different. And I'm like, no, I want to know everyone. And I want, if they need to talk to me, talk to me. And it was just so interesting that when we did that exercise and we noticed the misalignment, we knew we couldn't continue on the relationship. And it ended good.
Yeah.
But man, if we wouldn't have gotten aligned, I can't imagine how horribly it would have ended.
I mean, it would have wasted time and energy and heart and tears and all the things that I know that you went through to get to where you are. So it's incredibly self-reflective and brave to go through the exercise and smart, because I can't tell you how many founders I've seen that just, they have something special. They have something really, really special and they are not aligned. And then when push comes to shove and it's make the decision, are we going to license the product? Are we going to go into this country? Are we going to partner with this company? Are we going to put this widget in our, when they're not aligned, when you get to a volume of where you're starting to scale, it just implodes. It is very, very costly. It kills relationships. It kills ego. It kills will. And it, the downstream impact to the people that you brought on this ride with you, those people with responsibility and no authority,
yeah,
it kills their career and it gives them PTSD. So when you and I get them, they're all messed up and we got to go fix their head, right? So yeah, I love that you said that, because to me, alignment is one of the core principles in everything, not just in business, in everything. Even if you think about our personal lives, like when I made this decision, you know, Libby, when you met me, I was repping a really large HR tech firm and traveling and doing all the things. And I went out on my own and I'm coaching, but we had this conversation when I decided to do this. I had 3 C-suite opportunities within a week and they were really great. And Christy 5 years ago would have taken them and said ciao and been traveling the world, but it wasn't in alignment with where I wanted to go personally and where my partner wanted to go, because we're in a stage in our career where we really want to travel more and we want to be more purposeful in our community and show up together. And so we had the conversation of what that looks like. And I said, wherever I'm focused, that's where my energy is going to go. 100%. I don't know how to do it 50% or 80%. It's going to be 120%. Are you on this ride with me? Are we headed in the right direction? And we sat down and got alignment as a couple for ourselves and for our kids and like what the future holds. And we're rowing along. We're supporting each other. But we stopped and got that alignment on, okay, what does this mean?
I think this is important because business owners, management, leadership, C-suite, there is like, it all is together. You could do this at work or for work, but you also need to do this at home.
Mm-hmm.
And with your spouse, your partner, your children. So there's complete alignment in your life. How many times have we met people, like if you have a bad home life, you're probably going to have a bad work life. If you have a bad, like, because they're so intermingled.
Yep.
There's no way you're going to have a great like work life and then your job is horrible, because it's going to make you feel horrible and you're going to take that feeling home. And so many people miss the mark on working on this personally, like the personal alignment. I do a quarterly with my husband every quarter and we run it like a business meeting. We need alignment. What's our intention this quarter? Like, what can we give to the company? What do we want personally? Like, and creating that alignment just creates like this super smooth sailing. And I do that before I go into our business quarterlies. So I know exactly how much to give to the company. And I have several companies. And so I'm even spread more thin than like the average person who has one, because we have 3 softwares and a home service. And then I added the franchise, which I really didn't realize was a whole nother business, because you got to run the franchise. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't. I was like, oh crap.
That's elevation, baby.
So alignment, when you want to keep running fast and you want to be able to make fast decisions, you know, and you don't have to think on it or sleep on it too long. You don't have to, like, alignment creates this speed that when you see people moving so fast, you wonder, man, how can they do that? They have complete alignment through their personal and professional life.
Alignment is the energy, right? It's like our little internal AI energy, our human energy. That's what it is. Because you're right. If you're in alignment, you can make those when situations come up. You already know, okay, this is my core. This is my beliefs. This is my agreeance of what I, you know, for myself, my family, my company. So when those things come up, you can be more impactful and make those decisions much quicker and seamlessly and have buy-in from your team. Because if you're in alignment, you're going to flow. Your business is going to flow. And all that magic comes together.
Yeah, I love that. And we share ours with our, so we share our vision, or you could call it your future frame from the book, with our team, all of our team, of the future of the company. One of the best things I learned in some of the masterminds I was in was my vision, my future has to be large enough that every one of theirs fits inside of it. That's where hope comes from.
I love that.
That's where hope comes from.
Yes. Yeah.
So there is hope, because they see how large my vision is, and it has to be large enough that every single one of my employees fits inside of it. And so, like, what one way we figure this out is, and this is so simple and so basic, we do vision board exercises with our entire team, even our virtual team, even the team overseas. What's your vision board? Share it with us. Put it as your screensaver, because I need to see what they are. I need to know them. So I'm aligned with what's the future of this team. Can I actually help them get there? Or maybe I can't. And then I know how long their future is here in the company, and we can help them find another place to work or another opportunity. or create one within the company. Those are so important. So in our in-person team, we do them in person with virtual. We do a Canva workshop where everyone signs up for a free Canva account. We have pre-made vision boards set up. I have my, my graphic designer make like 3 or 4 to pick from. And then we all do a working session where we create our vision board.
I love that so very much. I've always done that with my girlfriends. We'll get together and cut magazines and do the whole, the whole vision board with a bottle of wine and lots of chocolates. But I love that you're doing that with your team, because that you're creating a couple of opportunities there. A, you're showing that you care, which is, employee safe.
You have to actually care for them to care.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you're exercising that activity of trust and caring that they're seeing. But I think it's got to uncover some really unique perspectives for you too on your people and how and what they want to grow. It's got to give you insights of how you can help that. And I love that you're thinking of them past where you are in your organization too. So that's that upskilling, reskilling that everyone's trying to figure out right now. And you're doing it through a fun, transparent, loving activity. Like, of course, Libby's doing vision boards. I'm not shocked.
Yeah. I mean, it's the greatest feeling where we have she's been with us 3 years, and last week she said last year she bought her first home for herself and her father. And then now she bought a brand new car, and they've never owned a car. And she said, because of working here and because of the vision board exercise, she goes, it works. She was able to like buy a home, buy a car, just off a simple exercise. And when you know that that's what they want, you ask about it, you encourage them, you can group people together. We do health challenges because we saw last year, every single person had put health on their vision board.
Okay.
So we're like, why not do a health challenge? And it was very simple. And so we do, and that gives you some insight and alignment, right? With what your team wants.
No, I think that's great. Like I've got a client right now where I'm going in and interviewing his entire sales team, his entire marketing team, a couple of their clients, right? And what I'm trying to do is understand, okay, what's working for them? What's not working for them? What do they need to do their job better? Are they aligned with your mission vision, right? And then and go to each of them and say, okay, are there tools that you need to do your job? What are you being told to do? Is that working for you or not working for you? Because as we rise, we're not as into the day-to-day, right? And so I love that this CEO is just like, come help, because I want to make sure that we hit my vision of getting to this number. And the only way to get to that number is to make sure everybody understands and is running in the same direction, but they're also in the right role. Because oftentimes, as you start a business, you get who you need in that moment, but that's not always who you need as you grow, right? And those people may have special strengths. Your vision board, I might steal that, helps understand, oh, they have a desire to go over here and they have the skill set. Maybe we can pour into them and upskill them in these areas. And they're going to run and be more purposeful and give you more because you're seeing the unique needs and wants that they have. So I really love that story. I'm so glad you shared it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we've seen, someone was interested in photography, like did it for a hobby. We're like, could we do something with that? Someone else in like customer success wanted to be in tech. Well, we definitely have that opportunity. If we didn't ask, we wouldn't know.
Yep.
And I think it creates more buy-in and trust in the employees as well. I have some questions for you before we wrap up.
Yes.
This has been a great conversation. You'd mentioned something right there at the end was the people that we hire at certain segments of business or even revenue, certain revenues of business are not the people that are going to get us to the next level. And I think that is one of the hardest things that I see my peers struggling with. And they feel like they're letting this employee down or these employees down because they hired them and they, promised them a job, right? That they would provide this job. What would you say to someone who, this is a huge issue. If your company is growing fast, you're going to outgrow you're going to outgrow your people. And at the rate you're growing, can they keep up with that? And so what would your advice be to people who are struggling with that? Like they're great people, but they just can't get us to the next level.
Yeah. It's tough, right? Because it's usually the people that you brought in as you were building. So you've got like an attachment and a loyalty to them, which you should have, right? Because they've come in and done a really great job for you. But business is always going to lift and shift. It's always going to change. Technology is going to come. Skill sets are going to, we have skill sets in the workforce right now that didn't exist 5 years ago. And we're going to have jobs in 2 years that didn't exist this year. So it's just, we've got to keep up. And I think, Libby, your guidance is great. It's continuously talk to your employees, continuously understand what their want and desires are so you can try to help them in or out, whatever that looks like. And I hate to say this because I am all about the employee. I'm all about trust and transparency. But at the end of the day, it's business. At the end of the day, y'all have the same mission, vision, goal. And so if they're no longer a fit and there's not another way to parlay their expertise into a different role where they fit the best, then that's where you got to start looking at what do you need there? How do you solution that? Is it moving them into another role? Is it encourage them to move to a different company? And of course, you want to be careful with all of this stuff, right? You don't want to just like, hey, thanks for the work. Let's get you over here. Like you want to be careful compliance wise, but ask the questions, be transparent, do the vision boards, understand your people, because that's going to give you the biggest leverage. And I'm a huge fan of Gallup Clifton Strengths, right? Call a coach in, run the strengths, see where they're strong, because that will help you uncover some things that they probably don't realize about themselves. And then you can start to look at your team holistically. So, you know, the client that I mentioned, we've got all of the strengths for the marketing team and the sales team. So we know where they're strong and we know where they're not operating in their strengths. So that'll be part of my analysis when I have the interview with them to understand, here's maybe where we could move a little bit to help you reach the goal with the team you have now. Or this team member may not be a fit where you're trying to go because they don't have these strengths. So, but here's where they do have strengths. What are your thoughts about flipping these roles or moving responsibilities in these areas? So it's really just an assessment of current state and future state and where the gaps are in between.
Yeah, the other thing you have to think about too, from the owner's perspective, is if they're in fact not the right fit anymore, they're probably struggling.
Yeah.
They're probably struggling by like personally, like they can feel the pressure and it may not feel that great. And so, like you said, just continuously having that conversation with them and letting them know that, I think is just almost, it resolves itself over time because it's more open. It's more honest. It's like, hey, like they know which way it's going. So they're either going to improve or they're the place to shift, or they know that like this relationship may come to an end, but that's okay.
I had an employer that once that was really, really great and said, no one should ever be surprised if they're being talked to about performance improvement or if they're getting let go. There should never, ever be a surprise, especially, I mean, even as they're elevating, there shouldn't be a surprise. It should be, yeah, this was my job. I met it. This is my job. I didn't meet it. Like whatever the case may be, but where I see leaders and owners fall down is they don't want to be disliked. They might go to the, you know, the ivory tower and send someone else off to go do, you know, the communication piece, which is a big mistake. It's having that conversation. And it really, truly is challenging because it is that direct manager to direct employee conversation. So depending on how big your organization is, it can get convoluted, right? As you start to elevate even up higher. But yeah, I think anybody should just follow your methodology. They'll probably be okay.
Well, this was a great conversation. And tell us about the book or anything else that you have coming up for our listeners. And we'll make sure that we put everything as well in the show notes.
Thank you so much. Yes. So I am working on a book. Being in the industry for 20 years and helping organizations scale, I've seen a lot of good things and a lot of bad things. So the book is going to kind of bravely go where no man's gone before and call it out. So wish me luck and pray for me. But we are looking for that to launch in November and pre-sales will start in August. I will be tapping on you for guidance, Libby, since you are a best-selling author. And then, yeah, the podcast, I just interview C-suite leaders. So anybody out there that is a rockin' C-suite leader like Libby, you know, please put your ring and your name in the hat and we'll get you on the show. I'm just out here trying to make the world a better place and get everybody to, you know, I want more leaders like you in our world, in our community, because I think if we can elevate the experience at work, it impacts the individual, it impacts the community, and it impacts their lives. Like, why would we not do that? So that's what I'm just crazy passionate about is leadership, improving it, humanizing it, making it more transparent, and making it okay for leaders to say, I don't know. That's my love.
That was probably the hardest thing I had to learn was to actually to say, I don't know. I have no clue. Like, and once I like let go of the fact that you don't have to know everything.
Yeah.
And it was so freeing. It was so freeing. But what I've found that I've hit a roadblock now because my leadership team won't say they don't know.
Oh, goodness.
So I've learned that and I let go of that. And then I have some people on my team that they do say that. It was taught that that's the sign of weakness, right? That we don't want to admit we don't know, like figure it out. And believe me, I'm the queen of faking it till I can make it. But I will tell you, I don't know.
Well, we're in the era of unlearning bad behaviors. Like that's the era that we're in, right? We have to unlearn all the bad behaviors and the bad leadership stories that we were told coming up, because we are not in, just like we talked about, the employee that you hired might not be the one to get you there. Well, the mindset we had is not the mindset we need to get us where we're going.
No.
Yeah.
And it's so much mindset work. It's funny how much mindset work it is versus how little actual like framework or business work it is.
Yeah.
It's, I got goosebumps. It's always back to mindset.
Mindset. It's always back to mindset.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for holding space and having me on the show. And I'm a huge fan of you, and I can't wait to see what's coming up next.
We have some big things coming up. So thank you so much for being on the show. And if you guys love this episode, make sure you follow us, and we'll make sure we put all of Christy's information in our show notes so you can reach out and find out more information about her. Thank you guys. And I'll see you guys on the next episode.
Bye.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.